This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And as we said, our next story is about the economic well-being of youths. Specifically, the Malaysian Youth Council feels that more needs to be done for young people in terms of jobs, salaries and opportunity.
So they gave some suggestions. One, to set up a cabinet committee to tackle youth unemployment, increase the minimum wage to 1,800 in the coming 5 to 10 years, increase development and facilities like internet access and speed in the country, especially in key states like Sabah, Sarawak, Kelantan, Perlis and Terengganu. And the group also recognised the economic potential that the digital economy could bring to young people.
So there are a lot of different issues wrapped up in those suggestions, right? Mm. Because this issue of internet speed and penetration is one that the Communications Minister Gobind Singh Dio has brought up time and time again as one of the key focuses of that particular, of the Communications and Multimedia Ministry, right? The idea that we really need to provide this. Mm. And it is true that if you want to participate in the economy in many different ways, in many of the newer ways, if you don't have access to the internet or if you don't have reliable, fast access, it's going to be so difficult.
And it's not about using the internet only to participate in the workforce, but you also can use the internet to upskill yourself.
Yes.
So if, let's say, you have very slow internet, those videos aren't going to load and it's just going to make learning very difficult. Now, in Malaysia, it is a very stark figure. Youth unemployment is quite scary because the overall unemployment rate is just at about 3%. Youth unemployment rate, however, is about triple that. It's about 10% compared to our other neighbours, Vietnam at 7%, Thailand at about also almost 7%, and Philippines at about 5.5%.
There is also the question there of a mismatch of jobs and people, right? Because it's the type of jobs that are being made available to people who have different education levels, people who have different expectations of what it is that they want. So it really does depend on, well, you're entering the workforce, but what kind of job do you want?
Yeah.
And is that job currently available to you in the marketplace?
And because it's about quantity, right? Right now, we are creating a lot of low and mid-skilled jobs where they don't necessarily have that career potential growth for you. They don't have any other routes that require you to develop once you are in that job. So the quality of it is very important, right? Because you want to think about, okay, so I'm in this job right now. What else can I be doing after this? And it's also the comforts and the benefits that come from a full-time employment. The gig economy is great, but if you're not working, you're not getting paid. And you don't have certain benefits that come with it, say health insurance, for example, that many full-time jobs have.
Unless we're going to start reconfiguring work and employment as a whole, but I don't think we're there yet, right?
No.
We are seeing the rise of the gig economy, and correspondingly, we are seeing efforts, especially from the government, I think, to try and provide for that, to try and, in some ways, legislate, administrate that. And part of that also will include these issues that you're talking about, some protections, but that is slow going because these were disruptive situations, and they're not, disruptions aren't always made after that for, hey, now let's try and make it pretty and tidy it up and make it make sense. So there are, it's a multi-pronged issue, this subject of youth unemployment. Let us know if you have any thoughts. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Noor Farini Dayeng, the CEO of My Harapan. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about the issue of youth unemployment, or really just more broadly speaking, economic opportunities for young people here in Malaysia. We're crossing over to Noor Farini Dayeng, CEO of My Harapan, which is an independent not-for-profit that sets out to empower youth by supporting their initiatives that contribute to nation building. Noor Farini, thank you for joining us. When we talk about this issue of youth unemployment, one of the reasons that keep coming up and that we mentioned as well is this idea of the mismatch of skills. What does it take for that to change?
I think it all boils down to the supply and demand, and it really goes down at education. Are there any reforms in the education system which would allow for opportunities for young people to learn and to gain skills which is applicable to what is needed in the market? I mean, there's still a lot of things which perhaps the industry require, which either institutions of higher learnings are unable to fulfill as yet. I think we also need to relook into the fact that, you know, we talk about a lot about how, at the end of the day, are we actually teaching our kids, irrespective of whether or not they go through university, the sort of life skills that is required? Do our young people know how to navigate increasingly more, disruptive economies, disruptive innovations? Do they know how to navigate that when perhaps we ourselves are unsure where we're going? And I think it's when we really talk about entrepreneurial, whether or not we're providing them with those opportunities to try, to take risk, to fail, to be innovative, you know, from the onset, from the very beginning where they started learning. So I think it's something that I feel will not change until we really, really sit down and look into an alternative means of learning and relearning.
And in your mind, what would that educational reform look like?
I feel like, you know, sometimes education does not necessarily mean that you have to go through a three-year bachelor degree or something that is structured in its current manner. I think there are a lot of opportunities to learn where it does not necessarily have to do with, being in a program where you learn pure academics, and maybe occasionally you go out there for an apprenticeship program. And a lot of times apprenticeship programs also perhaps do not give you the sort of exposure that you really need when you go out and face the working life. Secondly, is the fact that people, I don't think our talents are taught to look into how they can themselves become creators of jobs. You don't gain that mindset where you could become one to start your own venture, the sort of mindset is not being taught in institutions of higher learning. You know, you're taught to, yes, you, in developing a CV, which is great and nice, but I think that we need a lot more than that. We need to ensure that young people can see themselves as creators of jobs.
There's also this perception that fresh grads may be too choosy when it comes to their jobs. Is this something that you've observed to be true? And is it actually, I mean, we say that, but isn't it actually kind of fair for them to be choosy in terms of what it is that they want to do?
I don't think being choosy and being fickle about your job is necessarily something that's bad. Because when you dare to dream, you want to be able to choose the sort of jobs that will provide you with the sort of opportunities or the sort of things that you want in life. And I feel that there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's also, in being that, you also have to be realistic. And I feel that it's a part of the process of being out there in the real world, that yes, you can be choosy, as long as you are able to understand what your limitations are, what are your strengths, and where your weaknesses are, in order for you to be able to look into areas where you best fit. So I feel that young people don't necessarily know where they are, where they fit in this big puzzle of life, and which I feel impairs the ability to see how their future can be as opposed to what the present is offering. So, yeah.
There's also a lot of talk about quote-unquote 3D jobs. Oftentimes, policymakers bring up the issue of how locals, including the youth, are not keen on taking these jobs. Is it a matter of making these jobs more attractive so that the youth want to take them up?
I think as long as people understand understand that it's cleaning and dirty jobs are a solution that people really want. And if young people are able to recognize that there is a need, and that I think there was a mention of even rebranding, instead of becoming a sweeper, someone suggested that they would be given a more sophisticated name, like environmental assistant, if I'm not mistaken. So if young people can recognize that you're not going to be a someone that cleans forever, for example, who's going to do the dirty job, that the potential of you being able to own a cleaning company is always there if you are able to, like in any business, everything starts from ground zero, and then you move your way up. I feel if people understand that there are opportunities, that there is gainful employment, that is meaningful, that you can progress and you can grow, it can lead to something far greater than the stigma that often comes with the 3D jobs. So I think if you are able to sell them that idea that there's so much more, and the fact that you're actually providing something that people really need and people want and people would be willing to pay for.
I guess. And, you know, there's also the issue there of ensuring that the opportunity for growth is present. Based on the sentiment that you've observed, what is it that the youth want when it comes to the economy, when it comes to looking for jobs?
I think at the end of the day, it's still, you know, whether or not I can survive with the salary that what we're seeing is, you know, cost of living is increasing, but it also depends on where they are. You know, is it by state, the locality? I think a lot of young people feel as if the only way is to move to, you know, to the state with the highest economic opportunities as far as jobs are concerned. So if we are able to see how we can provide assistance and facilitation to young people where they're at, and for those communities, they would want to be able to stay where they're at and provide, contribute to the local communities in a more efficient manner without having to, you know, most of the time they move, you know, and there are cost considerations that they have to look into, you know. I think that they're very smart, as far as I can tell, in looking into ways to really provide for themselves in a more meaningful way. So they may be choosy with jobs because it doesn't necessarily, it either doesn't necessarily meet what they want in life, or it's is a choice of looking at the sort of values that companies are proposing and what are the sort of experience that the companies can offer. So I think it's beyond just the salary. Salary, I feel that obviously, with the cost of living increasing, we would have to relook into whether or not our talent is paid in a just and fair manner. But I think if they are provided with all the sort of opportunities where they can learn and gain from the experience, then it will be something that they will choose to take up.
From the policymakers' end, what do you want to see being done to tackle youth unemployment? And have you seen progress over the years?
I feel that it seems to me that the problems, you know, when we first started in Marapan has not changed. It's the same thing. Whether or not we have made any improvements, maybe to a certain degree by really encouraging entrepreneurship and perhaps even what we prefer, social entrepreneurship. But I think we just have to realize that understanding and getting into those opportunities which will allow you to learn about social entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship may not result in success, you know, immediately in an entrepreneurial endeavor. So how can we provide a very safe environment for young people to just become entrepreneurs, you know, go through the motions of becoming an entrepreneur and learning through this process, and how can the government help by really looking into apprenticeships more rather than just internships? How can they get into business far earlier on, and whether or not does it make sense to just look into, you know, full-time degrees, for example, or full-time degrees, diplomas? Can we have a hybrid of sorts depending, you know, personalized to how students are learning? Are we able to do this more effectively to ensure that, because people learn differently, so how can we do this more effectively, especially when I feel technology can allow this to happen already? So I think governments should also play a role in really listening to what is really happening on the ground, and also looking into providing parents the ability to also help their children navigate through life more effectively.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. That was Noor Farini Dayeng, CEO of My Harapan, talking us through the issues surrounding youth unemployment and really the kind of work that needs to be done. We have more music coming your way, and then after the 7:30 news, we're going to be headed to Skip Intro, where we talk about John Wick 3, Parabellum. And I'm anticipating, I think, a lot of fawning over Keanu Reeves. So if you're into that, stick around for that. In the meantime, we have Mr. Big with Wild World, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.